bless the name of the Lord. If you've got a Bible today in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, if you enjoyed that singing, somebody say amen. Amen. Turn around, stick your hand out, say, glad you're here this morning. I don't mean to make you lie, I just want you to be friendly. Amen. My God, what a song. My God, what a Savior. I ought to preach about 2 hours to you this morning, you bunch of deadheads. Some of you done forgot about where you come from. But I ain't Johnny come lately. I ain't rode in here on a load of pumpkins. I know in whom I believed. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. It is my heart not to pastor a religious Pharisaical church. I'm glad them doors swing both ways. It ain't locked and it ain't keeping you here. Some of you walked in like you hate you here. You get right with God, you'll get a smile on your face. You'll get to remember what He's done for you. The God of glory hung on a cross. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to take up time nor space trying to preach people little old tickly messages. Jesus is coming. And we better be getting our lives and homes ready to meet Him because He's coming. And I don't care what all these modern day liberal politicians are saying. This Bible still works today. And this God of heaven is to be praised and adored. And we're standing on holy ground today. This is a special place, a dedicated place. And I thank God we've got a place we can come and exalt Him. If it wasn't for the God of glory, we'd all be in hell. We ought to be in hell. I said we ought to be in hell this morning. But the God of grace loved you enough. He got you out of hell. You sit there on the pew and can't raise your hands toward Him. Look down in your heart and realize, my God, you want to have Christmas? You can have Christmas this morning. The God of glory put Jesus in your house. And I thank Him this morning. I'm not impressed with what you're wearing or what you're driving. I ain't impressed with where you work and what you got or what you ain't got. All I want is a handful of people that wants God to do something in these last days. Can anybody help me preach this morning? People dying, going to hell by the droves. We sitting around like a bunch of Pharisees. How in the world can we reach anybody to God if we don't have a joyful heart in us? Why would anybody look at you and want what you got? My God, my God. What a Savior. I bless the name of the Lord. It's amazing to me He come to my house. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2 this morning, came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. License thieves. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed. Nothing changed there today. Everyone into his own city. Joe, you ought to pay your tax and your tithes. Somebody shout amen. Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. What a great child he was. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Thank you for standing this morning. I hate somebody made you come to church. I mean, I hate it's such a chore for you to come to church this morning. We need our backside striped. I want to preach on the Christmas story. Maybe that'll help your spirits. Amen. The Christmas story. What is it? Well, it ain't Santa Claus. It ain't somebody in a Walmart line shouting happy holidays. It's Christmas. I'm glad I got Christmas. Turn around, tell somebody by you, you need Christmas. I've never seen so many sad faces in all my life. It's probably because you're trying to be something you ain't. Christmas story. Luke chapter number 1. You'll see in verse 26, there was a sent messenger. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Now, I want to say something right there. Has anybody ever seen an angel come walk into you? Now, I love the way Mary was, honey. The angel didn't tear her nerves up. It was the message she heard that tore her nerves up. I wonder if you ever heard a message that tore your nerves up. I love getting hold to some of you on Christmas and Easter. That's the only time I ever get to preach to you. Verse 26 through 29, it was a troubling message. I found out when God's got something to say, a lot of times it's troubling. There's none good, no, not one. But we must all come by the way of the cross. Oh, it was a sent messenger. Aren't you glad God's got some messenger? And I've noticed when a man brings God's message, everybody is not real fond of it. It was a troubling message. And then it was a tremendous message. The Bible said in verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What a tremendous message. Now, if your Bible says that she was just a young lady, you got the wrong kind of Bible. She was a virgin. Big difference in exposed and espoused. Now this sent messenger was a troubling message, but it was a tremendous message. He told her that she was going to have a child. And by the way, it was going to be a child from the Holy Ghost. We ought to thank God one day somebody sent us a message that we could have a child, but it would come forth by the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I've been born again by the grace of God. Isn't it amazing how the Spirit of God can take you and put you in the family of God and produce a baby? Boy, I'm glad one day He come to my house, Brother Carl. And I've just never got over what He's done for me. You know, I think a lot of times that this tremendous message, we really forget about just how sacred the birth of Christ really was. A sent messenger. It was a troubling message. It was a tremendous message. But in verse 37, oh, it was a truthful message. You ought to underline it. For He said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We forgot about how big our God is. We talk about our country. We talk about a great recession. It don't look like it where I go. Matter of fact, we're so blessed we forgot about the blesser. Blessings has always intended us to glorify the blesser. A lot of you on Christmas morning and this week, you'll receive a gift. It's not the gift, it's the giver. A lot of you pout because you won't get what you want for Christmas. Your little lip all pooched out. You making a good Baptist, ain't you? Little lip pooched out. Crossed ways, because you ain't got your way. But honey, let me tell you something. The gift of Christmas is about the giver. God loved us enough that He gave the best that He had, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a sent messenger. I'm glad that the angel come on the scene. He used Gabriel. He is sent from God. Boy, how many times God has sent us a message, but we've not done a lot with what He's told us. This Christmas story involved a sent messenger. But number two, in Luke 2 and verses 1 through 7, it involved a sovereign manger. The Bible said it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so, verse 3, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth in Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. A sovereign manger. Now in verse 4, you'll find there was a place of Bethlehem. It's just a little place. I found out that you can always find Christ in lots of little places. A lot of people's always looking for Jesus in big places, but I found out Jesus loves to dwell among the little places. In Micah chapter number 5 and verse 2, there was a prophecy told about Bethlehem. He said, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, that thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. The child was born in Bethlehem, but the son was from everlasting. Now this sovereign manger, it was a little place, but in verse 6 it was a lowly place. He said it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Now, isn't it amazing how God set this up to get them to where He wanted them? You know, He called a taxation upon the world. Really what this was, it was a registry. They came and they registered in their hometown. It was a census. And while that census was going on, everybody was to pay the taxes there in their hometown. And so here, the sovereign God of this Bible, He set up a census to get to get Mary and Joseph at Bethlehem right where He wanted them. Can I tell you, the sovereign God of this manger is the sovereign God of this Bible, and He still plans things to put us to where we need to be. Can you imagine now that Mary is great with child, and she traveled some 75 miles from where they were to Bethlehem. And the Bible says she was great with child. I don't believe that she was able to ride a little donkey. I don't believe she was able to ride a cart or any other type of transportation. But she walked in the hill country great with child to get to Bethlehem. It's amazing what people in days gone by have done, and the luxuries of this life, we take it all for granted. I can't get over your mully grubs this morning. We ought to be shouting and praising God for two cars in our driveway and a good hospital to go to have our children in. My goodness, there was a sovereign manger. God had it set up that there may be a child. You know, I'm convinced that nothing takes God by surprise. He still sets things up so that children may be born. Sovereign manger, it was a little place, it was a lowly place. But in verse number 7, Brother Lee, it was a lonely place. The Bible said, she brought forth a firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them. Underline that word. No room for them in the inn. Not only was there no room for him, it was no room for them. And I'm going to tell you, it was a lonely place. If you're going to love Jesus in this old world, it's not going to be much room for you either. There's a lot of room nowadays for a lot of things except for Jesus. Not a lot of room for Him in the White House, is it? I noticed that all these good politicians we put in office, they all voted about 2-1 about this gay business out in the armed forces this way. You know, it's okay to have a homosexual lifestyle. That's what they say. The Bible says it's an abomination. Not a lot of room for him in legislation today in making decisions. Not a lot of room for Jesus in the White House. It's okay, you come pray and call on God, but don't you mention Jesus, because if you mention Jesus, you're drawing a line in the sand and you're going to offend all of our Muslim people that's taking this nation over. Because, you know, they call on God too, and we can't offend nobody. I'm glad I'm preaching in a Baptist church this morning where we can offend people. You need to be offended. Nothing's wrong no more in America. But honey, the Bible says right's right and wrong's wrong. Some of you are shack up, think nothing about it. Some of you just move in and trade in and do like an old shoe. Some of you go around and drink your little beer and you think it's all right and buy your little lottery tickets, and some of you hang out in places that you ought not be caught dead in. You ought to thank God that there is a Bible that still tells the truth this morning. Would somebody help me preach today? No room for them. And I'm going to tell you, it's no room for you. You go out on your job and they'll make room for their booze parties. My God, I'm glad I'm not invited to them bashes. Any of you boys remember the New Year's Eve parties and you need a C&I dog to get you home? Well, you ought to thank God that it come down to your house and saved your worthless hide. Some of you looking at me like, you ought to turn around and say, oh, this is mild today. No room for them. I always wondered, you know, maybe there was a man one day, I guess I got my hopes up too much, Brother Gerald. He was a member of the party and that is going to get me to come where the governor was and have prayer. And I got my hopes up a little bit. I wish I could got up there about 10 minutes and the Holy Ghost give me liberty. No room for them. Ain't no room for you in the schoolhouse much, is it? Boy, ain't it amazing that now we have a time of silence. Why don't somebody get to saying, hey nation, we're going to hell in a handbasket and we need the God of this Bible to straighten this mess out we all in. Preacher, you offend me. Wonderful. If I'm in this book, I'm thank God I offend people. I don't want to be no liberal preacher and stand before God that I sugar-coated things and told people it wasn't the heaven to gain and the hell to shine. You listen to me, you got to be saved. The Bible says you must be born again. No room for the one that hung on a cross. I wonder if you got any room in your house for him. I mean, it amazes me. Now, I'm just going to preach a while. It's a coming, so I'm just going to let it go. I got a call last night from a family that used to go to this church. They sat on the bench together. They was here on Wednesday, Sunday night, Sunday morning, and they got to leaning. You see, their house became crowded and they pushed, instead of pushing things out, they pushed Jesus out. Now they're in a divorce court. She's strung out on drugs, don't even know where she's at. Living in a bad situation, raising children in that kind of situation. If you're not careful, this society and this world to push him slam out of your house. Matter of fact, some of you ought to draw a line in the sand and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. My dad-in-law's here this morning. I guarantee you, buddy, in that generation of a man, you didn't walk in there with the new ideas and the harem scarems of the day. He got up, took his children to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. It wasn't no doubt of what that's going to do. I'm glad he got his little girl under the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and she got saved. In 1979 in Panama City, Florida, I run into this family, not by coincidence, but by a sovereign hand of God. And he seemed fit to jerk me out of a hay field. He ought to put me in hell, but he put me in Bowden, Georgia. And saved my worthless hide. And you think I'm going to sit there and let visitors steal my shout? I remember waking up not knowing how I got there. I remember times when we didn't have enough money to put food on the table. I remember times when I done my wife mad. But thank God, Brother Carl, I'm glad the Lord of glory moved in my house. And I'm glad there's room where we live this morning. You better make room. Because the world won't give you room. You got to take room. You ought to bless your meal at the table. You ought to have Bible readings with your young'uns. And it's easy to tell them to do this, but how are you living in front of them? We got so many grandparents raising young'uns now because their young'uns ain't done what they ought to do. Grandparents didn't bring babies in the world. My son-in-law, hey, I got one son-in-law here this morning. I go, now look, some of you look scared. I ain't scared. He brought this baby in the world. It's his responsibility to see about this baby. It ain't me and Miss Renee's responsibility to be a raiser. We done getting old. We ain't got the nerves or the patience we used to have. Some of you shaking your head. Some of you wanting to go on the pew. You need to make room for Jesus down at your house. And I've noticed this, if you're going to make room, you got to get rid of some stuff. Some of that stuff that we don't wear and some of it that you don't need to be wearing. Oh my God, another rabbit bounced. You got to get stuff out. Make room for it. It ain't the school's responsibility to raise our young'uns. Thank God for grand young'uns. But thank God when you get tired, ready to go to bed, you can send them home. Amen. No room. Want to say any room down where you work for Him? I remember, you have to make room. When I was in the secular job world, I always had a Bible on my desk. And I noticed this, Brother David, other men began to get a Bible and put on their desk. Brother Gerald would have dinners and we'd pray and we'd bless the food. And I didn't care if the CEO was there or the man that cleaned the commode. We were just going to pray and bless the food. Amen. Boy, ain't it amazing when you quit making room. Brother Dennis, where does it go when you quit making room? You can tell them, can't you? Say amen, Brother Dennis. Quietest man in our church, say amen. That ought to shame some of you. You got to make room for it. I've noticed this, the devil won't make room. Some of you say, well, I won't come to this church because what people say. Well, I don't know if any of us could say much. If it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would be here this morning. I've heard this a lot. Well, people there don't like me. Well, what have you done to get them to like you? Sitting there with your old sad face. If you're hunting a reason to leave, I promise you, you can find one before this sermon's over. You've got to make room for him. You ever thought about this, that there's no room for them in the end? You ever thought about them people that miss Christmas that morning? You ever thought about how close you come by missing Christmas? What if you'd missed the most precious gift you've ever had? And that was the Lord Jesus. He's been good to us. You see, this Christmas story involves a few things. Not only is there a sent messenger and a sovereign manger, there's a saving message. In Luke 2 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I wish some of these men could just read that one simple verse. For he said, "I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Jesus died for all. It's a saving message. It's a message about grace in verse 10. He said, "The angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Aren't you glad that Jesus brings joy? A lot of you looking for joy in a bottle, joy in a bag, joy in peel. You're not going to find joy there. A lot of you hunting happiness. Well, I understand that. Happy only comes through happenings. But joy only comes through Jesus. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a message about grace. It's a message about a gift. In verse 12, it was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, this gift that was wrapped, it revealed something and it concealed something. These were grave clothes. These were just strips. She didn't have a lot, but she done with what she could do with. She took that little old baby and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And from the time this baby was born to the time that this man died, there was a shadow of a cross that hung over his head. Did you know that you and I were born to live, but He was born to die? Shadow of the cross was over Him all of His life. Matter of fact, when He was 12 years old, they found Him in the temple. And they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business?" You better thank God He took it upon Himself to come for me and you. The Baptist didn't die for you. No Pope died for you. Saving message. It's about grace. And then verse 12, it's about a gift. He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Let me ask you, have you ever had the Savior as a gift? I've had a lot of gifts that I forgot who gave them. And let's all be honest, we've all got gifts that we couldn't really use. Any of you ever give a gift the way somebody give to you? Let me get back here in this redneck crowd. I know some of y'all have. You know, they give it to you 2 years ago and nobody knows it, so you just pass it on. Wouldn't it be a blessing if the gift He gave to you, you could give to somebody else? I told somebody today about our church. I'm going to close. I think maybe Brother Dennis said this. He's not here. He said, "Pastor, we got a church like no other church. People's faithful. Man, they come to church. They'll come Wednesday night, Sunday night. Preacher, we've got a church that'll come to church." I said, "Praise God for it." He said, "Preacher, we've got a church that'll give like no church I've ever seen give. And thank God for it." I mean, thank God when families is in a bind, they ain't no big ones or little ones. We can just bind together and help. He said, "Preacher, far as I know, we got a church that loves one another like no other place I've ever seen it." Thank God that we love one another. Matter of fact, turn around beside you this morning and tell somebody you love them. Turn around. They need to hear it. Turn around and tell them. Say, "I love you. I love you." "I love you, honey." I said, "Yes, sir, you're right. We got a church that's faithful. We got a church that gives. We got a church that loves one another." But I said, "I tell you what our church is missing. And I'm missing it as much as anybody here. And we're missing a burden. Some of you got children going to die and go to hell if God don't save them. Why wouldn't you want to give them that gift that He's given you?" Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning and play me something. I can tell you a gift that keeps on giving. Something bothers me as a pastor. when I know the background of many of you, and like myself, and you become unthankful of what this gift has done for you. It's a saving message. He said, "For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior." Did you know we all need the Savior? I had a brother-in-law this week in Tennessee. Brother Jerry began to get on me in my bed. He and my sister divorced when I was a young boy. And I loved him. And now he's got lung cancer. And I told Mother Friday, I said, "Mama, I'll bet your house in a little bit, but I've got to go see Elmer." And all the way up there I drove thinking, what kind of man would I be if I didn't tell this man about how to be saved? We go all through life. We do nice things for people, and that's good. But the most important thing, the greatest gift that you could ever give, is to tell somebody about your Savior. Is there room in you . Can you make room this morning? Oh, we're so busy. You remember them boys you used to run with? You remember what you was doing? Some of you got a mom and daddy never been saved, and you're just going to sit around. "Well, preacher, what can I do?" Well, you can pray for them. You can be a witness in front of them. I've heard people say, "I want to see my people get saved." Well, you got to live it in front of them. I want to tell you this morning, I don't care what you've done. And I don't care how long you've been doing it. There's a Savior that can save you. There's a Savior, as Brother Carl Sank, can change your house. But He won't intrude. I promise you. You're going to have to make room. If you can make room out of your heart this morning, move in your heart. And love you like nobody else has ever loved you. What you need, as my sister plays right now, I want to open this altar up. Whatever you need this morning, I want you to...